world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Corey, the flight attendant, he's like, everyone off the plane, get off.
I think that it is important to understand that
my appetite was gone. When I got back home, my niece informed me.
According to preliminary information still to be confirmed,
eight fried pork sausages.
He ate my finger.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And welcome to our program this evening. Tonight, we're going to be talking with Robert Greene and his work with an organization that he helped start, the Single Fathers Legal Assistance Fund. And we'll also be discussing with Mr. Vernon Dozier the continued controversy around the mosque in New York, the Ground Zero Mosque. We also may have a visit, I'm not sure, but Art Griego, who is our aviation expert, could be talking with us about some of these maintenance lapses we've been hearing about with American Airlines, $24 million worth of maintenance lapses, worth of fines because of these maintenance lapses. So we may be talking with Art later in the show. Right now, our website at philhendryshow.com is streaming live video of the show, a video cast, as well as live audio. Tomorrow, we'll have the downloads of the show. We'll have a five-day archive. And we have, of course, years and years and years of Phil Hendry material there. So get a backstage pass. There really isn't any other radio show website that's worth it. There isn't. I don't even care if they're giving it away. There's no other radio show website that's worth it. This is the only one that is actually archiving material that people are going to want to go back and listen to 2 years from now. Trust me when I tell you that. So philhendryshow.com is the place. Check it out. Let's see. We got our affiliate spotlight tonight. I forgot. Did we do it last night? Well, our affiliate spotlight this evening is in Boston, WTKK 98.9 FM, and in Colorado Springs, 4Ks, KKKK 1580. Did I get that wrong, Jace? Did I get the frequency of our good friends in Boston wrong? 96.9. Is that what I said? All right. WTKK. I know them as TKK. I know them as Grace's station, okay? Colorado Springs, Colorado. KKKK. That's heavy. And they're located at 1580 AM. So those are a couple of our affiliates on the Phil Hendry Radio Network. Good to have you guys with us tonight. 877-876-PHIL is the number. We're going to start out here. We'll get Bob Greene on in just a moment. A four-year-old boy was being tested for sexually transmitted diseases after he found a used condom in an Atlanta hotel room and tried to blow it up thinking it was a balloon. If you can imagine how utterly disgusting that is. The boy found the condom in the sheets of a bed in the hotel where his family was staying, according to his grandmother, Carmen Jones. He had his tongue in it. Good God. According to the grandmother, in a statement released by the attorneys that the family rapidly contacted after they saw this child playing with this thing, I immediately took it out of his mouth. The boy sickened and developed sores on his tongue not long after, according to the grandmother. She took him to Scottish Rite Hospital in Atlanta to have him tested for sexually transmitted diseases, including herpes and HIV. Oh, boy. Here is a little bit of audio for you. This is Carmen Jones. This is the grandmother talking to Channel 5 in Atlanta about this disturbing incident.
When I looked at my grandson, he had a used condom all down his throat, his tongue in it, everything. And there was semen in the condom. Next
Yikes.
Day, that's
Yikes.
When I had seen the open blisters inside of his mouth, inside of the bottom lip. All on his tongue. There's that hope that you just hope that, you know, nothing comes from it.
Boy, that is just about as funky as it gets, man. Robert Greene is joining us. Bob Greene is the CEO of Fraser Foods. He's a longtime, well-established businessman, well-known in business, the business community, business circles in Southern California, as well as throughout the United States. He's also one of the founding members of the Single Fathers Legal Fund. And, Bob, you heard that story. That's disgusting.
Oh, I mean, it doesn't get much more dangerous. It doesn't get much more, as you say, Phil, disgusting. It has the earmarks of everything that, you know, you fear as a parent, as well as a citizen. The idea that this kind of unsanitary, I guess, behavior.
Is out there, huh?
Is out there, yeah.
Now, Bob, you were with a organization that talked a little bit about this and dealt with these problems. And I can't imagine, I don't know what single fathers have to do with a condom laying around.
Well, Bill, the reason why I didn't immediately mention it in relation to this story is because this is a story that has to do with a family that was staying in a hotel room. And obviously, that what they're claiming is that this was a this was something that was left by a previous guest in the hotel room. I don't know. It could have been something that was used by a member of the family. I don't have the specifics. It's very unsanitary, and there are a lot of reasons for this. Excuse me. One of the reasons that if you want to look at why I'm talking to you about this tonight. And I've got a little bit of a cold, Phil, so...
You sounding fine. You sounding good, Bob. Is it a sore throat?
It's a little bit of a sore throat, yeah.
Go ahead.
One of the reasons why I got involved in this is because when I separated from my wife, and this was many years ago, I had visitation with my kids, and some of the weekends they would come over and stay with me at an apartment that I was renting. When I separated from my wife, I didn't have the big house that we lived in. We lived in about a 7,000-square-foot home, so it was quite a big home. I went immediately from that to a small apartment over here on Beach Boulevard. And that was where my kids would visit, and that is where I would live my life. My kids would come on Saturdays and Sundays. And you're a single man living in an apartment. You got your kids coming over, but you're also entertaining other people. You're entertaining your friends. And I came out one morning, and my daughter, who at that time was 8 years old, had this prophylactic that she was stretching. And at one point, she asked me if it was a swimming cap. It was very, very small. I couldn't believe what she had found, and I immediately took it from her. I said, no, it isn't. And I told her it was something for a tool that I was using.
Your daughter found a condom in your apartment.
That's right, yeah. And this is what I'm getting at, and this is something that I want people to understand. Single fathers are paying such an enormous amount of money when it comes to alimony and child support that they literally are living when they move out and are on their own for the first time. They're living in a situation that is maybe not the most hygienic. It's not the optimum situation, and you don't have a lot of money to hire a maid to come in and clean the place up. That was the case with me. So when my daughter found this, and I was mortified, Phil, there's no question about it, but it's very different from what this family went through. This was left by another individual, and that's the person you got to blame. But this also was what was left by me, and I take full responsibility for that, is the result of what my wife and millions of American women put ex-husbands through.
All right, Bob. You're saying that because you were entertaining, you had females...
Yes, that's correct.
You had single females you were entertaining at the apartment there, and this is also where your kids were coming to visit you because you had visitation.
Correct.
That your daughter found a condom. Was this? I guess it goes without saying, it was one that you had used.
It was yes, because you have to understand something. I'm entertaining adults. And
but you also know that your kids are coming over.
I know that my kids are coming over, Phil. I also know that I wish I was living with my kids. And it is not an optimum situation. The optimum situation would be if I had custody of my kids or if I was living in a bigger home, but that was not the case then. And so as a result of this not being the case, you don't have the most organized living circumstance.
All right, but again, to find a condom, your daughter found this condom. Where did she find this?
She found it on the floor near the couch. And again, when you are living in a very disorganized situation where you have been essentially asked to leave your home and you're living in an apartment and you've got your papers and you have your business effects and you have your phone numbers, your Rolodex, and the apartment, I'm telling you, it feels like just an extension of my office, and you're also, you've got the kids over. I called my ex-wife and I said, you're killing me with the immediate spousal money that she wanted. The court had not yet ordered any.
And so you were just giving her money?
I was giving her what she was asking for. And I said, I'd like to hire a maid. And she told me that my daughter, Carrie, had said she'd found this thing, and I told her it was a condom.
And you were not in the least bit upset. You weren't worried about telling your wife that your daughter found a condom laying on the floor?
Well, no, it was not the fault of... it was not my fault. It was the fault, and this is why we started legal aid for single fathers. When you are the parent living away from the house, and you have been told to leave, as I was, and you're forced to get an apartment, and you are forced to organize your life on the run, and you are also, obviously, a man, and you're entertaining women, I don't think it is unusual, and I certainly don't think it is... It takes an imagination to understand there's going to be a condom laying on the floor somewhere. And when my daughter found that, I got irate. I picked the phone up and I called my wife, my ex-wife, immediately, and I said, you don't understand what you've done because I can't keep this place clean. And your daughter, and that's what you say when you're angry, your daughter just found a rubber laying on the floor and was playing with it.
But to blame your... The thing about blaming your ex-wife about that...
I know. It's very difficult for a lot of people to understand. Unless you've lived through this, Phil, unless you've lived through a separation like this...
I've lived through a separation, you know.
Yeah, but did you have a child visitation situation?
No, I did not.
That's what I'm talking about. Unless you've lived through a separation like this where you're in a very small, cramped apartment because your ex-wife is literally soaking up all the extra dollars... And you don't have a lot to spend on a place to live. You certainly can't afford a cleaning woman. There's going to be a lot of stuff laying around. And unfortunately, in that instance, when I saw the story about the condom, I remembered. It's unhygienic. It's absolutely true. It could spread disease. God knows what. But we need to keep our eye on the ball. These fathers are out there trying to be with their kids, to live a normal life as a single man, and at the same time conduct business, keep their businesses afloat, and a condom is left on the floor, and you are considered to be no better than a child molester. And
why did you start this legal fund?
Well, I started it initially for myself because my wife was going to deny me visitation with the kids. So this was really about me.
And but you're a wealthy man, you know.
I'm a wealthy man, but this is a public issue, and so this was something that I felt I could handle through a not for profit.
All right, 877-876 Phil is the number. I'm sorry I wasn't giving the number out here because I was fascinated with your story, Bob. 877-876 Phil. So. You've got a small, cramped apartment, and the kids are coming over to visit you, and one of them found a condom laying on the floor that happened to have been used by you. And
well, I'm trying to explain that this happens, Phil, and kids that find these things laying around, they find them for a lot of reasons. In my instance, it was because my wife had pushed me out of the house.
Yeah, I know, and you had to get a really, really small apartment. And you didn't have money for a cleaning woman, so when the kids come over to visit, there's condoms laying around.
There's not condoms laying around. There was one.
Was this the only time?
Well, it wasn't the only time that they found something of an adult nature like that, is what I'm trying to say. So we need, and the message I want to get out is, women have got to lay off of men and the demands they're making in terms of dollars, because they cannot afford to pay these exorbitant bills, child support, alimony, and keep a clean apartment that their children can visit, and not find a rubber laying on the floor. You know.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number. Robert Green asking that ex-wives ease back on the alimony and the child support demands because the ex-husbands are living in squalor, and they're also entertaining young women. And in Bob's case, his kids came over and found a condom laying on the floor because he can't keep the place clean. He can't afford a maid, and the kids are seeing these very adult things. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Later on, Vernon Dozier and more on the Ground Zero Mosque and the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You know, the story here of a boy picking up a used condom in an Atlanta hotel room reminded us of Robert Green and the legal defense fund that he started some 10 years ago. Your daughter, Carrie, is how old now?
Well, Carrie is a young woman now, Phil. She's just turned 20, as a matter of fact.
So this was about 12 years ago?
Yeah, 12 years ago. And when that happened, we started our legal defense fund for single fathers because... You know, we don't have any protection.
But what we're talking about here, though, is that your daughter found a used condom laying on the floor in your living room.
Well, I don't know if it was used. I imagine that it was. But the point is that she found it, and I was livid. I called my ex, and...
Now, a lot of people may be saying right now, you know, I gotta tell you, Bob, I'm one of them. How do you blame an ex-wife for you leaving a used condom laying around?
It's a good question, but I'll tell you, it's rooted, my opinion and the opinion of millions of American men is rooted in, strictly rooted in the legal foundation of the fact that we are forced out the door, we have to take a small apartment, we can't afford to keep it clean. I take it that we're still entitled to have a social life.
I guess, I mean, I... Yeah.
Well, there's not a law against it.
No, there's not a law against it, but in this apartment that your children are going to be visiting...
Exactly. Well, what I'm saying is that living circumstance is the result of a wife not only forcing you out the door, but also, and this is the only way I can put it, they're soaking up every extra dollar before they actually settle on any kind of a spousal support or child support. And so... in my case, this was an apartment over here on Beach Boulevard in Huntington Beach, and it was filthy. And there was a used condom. There were condom wrappers.
Let me ask you this: can't you clean the place up before your kid?
No, hold on. You're not listening to me.
No, but can't you?
You're not listening to me. I'm a businessman. I work late. I get up early. I would love to be able to keep the place clean at that time, but I couldn't afford a maid and at the same time get up early and go and do my job. So the kids, when they came to visit me on the weekends, were walking into this house with Playboy magazine and so forth that I don't want them to see. And I told them, don't open the magazines. Those are daddy's. But the condoms in the bathroom and so forth. Their mother, Sharon, is, and I'll say this, and she knows this is true, she is not a pleasant woman.
All right, let me get some phone calls up here, Bob. 877-876-PHIL, talking to Bob Green about the story of a boy finding a condom in a hotel room. Mr. Green, this actually happened to him. His daughter found one and found it to be... What? Okay, hold on, Derek. I got Derek on the line. Derek, you need to hold on. I just heard my engineer say that we've got to go to break. So hold the line here, man. I apologize. It's a compelling story, Bob, and I guess I got lost in the...
Well, so long as you understand, Phil, that this is something that was engineered by... I'm not holding myself completely, not responsible, but this is engineered by a very sadistic woman, and a very, very selfish and greedy woman.
All right, hold on. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with your phone calls in a moment of the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL. I apologize for letting the clock get away from me here. A boy is being tested right now at an Atlanta-area hospital for STDs after finding a used condom in a hotel room and playing with it. Robert Green joins us from Fraser Foods, but at one time was a part of a group called the Legal Fund for Single Fathers. And this is an incident that you say is fairly common with single fathers because of the fact that their ex-wives are soaking them.
Well, before you get the spousal support, before you get the order for child support, you're living in a small apartment, you're entertaining women. I don't think I have to paint a picture here. And for a woman like my ex-wife, Sharon, who was almost sociopathic in the way she delighted in making my life just a living hell. When I came out and I saw my daughter playing with that something that I had been wearing 6 hours before, I thought I was going to faint.
Yeah, but you had it.
Mr. Hendry, I understand that I was laying on my floor. I take responsibility for the fact that I didn't pick up a condom that I was using. I don't think that's the end of the world. But my daughter was really put at risk, I think, by my ex-wife and her selfishness.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to a phone call now. Here we have Renee in La Palma, California. Renee, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Robert Green. Go ahead.
Hi. I really don't see how Mr. Green's story relates to the story that you were telling at all about the 7-year-old boy. Mr. Green seems like... he's really angry and bitter about him having to pay this absorbent amount of child support to his wife, him being forced out of his 7,000 square foot home to that he shared with his wife and his kids. Mr. Green sounds like he's a very nasty, dirty man, because even if you lived in a matchbox,
you could get up
and go and dispose of a used condom, not leave it on the floor, so your daughter, when she comes over to visit, can find it next to the couch. That's very nasty.
This is what I was trying to explain.
All Mr. Green is talking about. Mr. Green is talking about on this call, on this show, is how much child support he's paying and how he was forced out of his home. It has absolutely nothing to do with the storyline that you were telling about
the 7-year-old
boy.
This little boy, I want to repeat what Renee is saying, that this is a boy in an Atlanta hotel room.
Well, I know the story. The little boy found a condom that was left by another guest, but we don't know yet if it was another guest. It could have been his own father.
The family is traveling. You're talking about living on your own, and this is a family together traveling. The grandmother found it. So what you're saying is that it reminded you of a story.
Well, of course it would. The fact that this child was victimized by an adult who didn't care for that child. In my case, I think it's the kid's mom. I think it's my daughter Carrie's mother.
These stories have absolutely nothing to do with each other.
Why do you say that? When her mother threw me out and forced me into an apartment that I can't afford to keep clean, let me ask you something, ma'am. You've never left a condom laying around. You're saying that's never happened.
Well, wait a minute. You've got your kids coming over, right?
said, there is absolutely no reason why he shouldn't be able to dispose of that used condom. Why in the world would you leave it on the floor?
I didn't know it was there. Had I known it was there, I would have picked it up. But you already know
you don't have a maid service. Why are you leaving this kind of stuff laying around?
Ma'am, I did not do it on purpose. Had I known it was there, I would have picked it up.
But you took it off.
Yes, I did.
What did you do? Just take it off and drop it on the floor?
You know something, Phil? If you're in that mood, you're in that kind of a mood where you take it off and you throw it against a wall.
You knew your kids were coming the next day. You knew the children were going to be in that place. And you take it off and throw it against a wall.
I really resent the fact that you're making this about me.
Well, you're making it about your ex-wife, and she wasn't anywhere in that apartment, Bob. And the legal aid thing, I mean, you got Child Protective Services coming after you.
Because I tried to explain to my daughter what a condom was for. And that got me in trouble with them. So this is why we need the legal defense more than anything else.
Why did you throw it against a wall?
I'd had too much to drink. I was entertaining a young lady, and I'd had too much to drink.
All right, Renee, thank you for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Cindy on the Phil Hendry Show. Cindy, go ahead.
Hi. I'm pretty sure at this point this must really be a joke. Because if
no
if
kidding.
You,
I mean, are you
if
kidding
If you
around?
Really want to blame your
well,
wife
if I'm
for
kidding
your,
around,
you're a very
If I'm kidding
person.
Around, let me ask you something. If I'm kidding around, why did I sit there and take the accusations from Child Protective Services and their mother's lawyer, if this is some kind of a joke? Because I can tell you I've got a business, and I don't need that.
Well, if you run your business the way you run your home, that unclean, I hope I have nothing to do with your business.
Well, I'm not asking you to do anything, ma'am. You called me. And I'm telling you that my ex-wife, because I'm left without any money, and I can't keep an apartment clean, so my daughter finds a condom laying on the floor.
Well,
I
do understand that there may be need for husbands out there who go through divorces like that. I can understand that. But that's still irrelevant to you being basically a slob.
If you can't afford a maid.
Can't you pick? What I'm saying is, and you're saying, well, if you'd known it was there.
If I'd known it was there.
You know enough that you took it off and threw it against a wall.
Yeah,
look, I was a single mother. I raised my daughter with no child support because he was a bum, waiting tables. And I didn't go around leaving my personal feminine used products laying on a table or on the floor.
Why couldn't you pick your stuff up?
Isn't
I'm
it because your wife or
wife
maid always picked your stuff up before?
I'm paying child support. I'm paying, or I was at the time, child support. I'm paying spousal support.
That doesn't mean you.
So what does that got to do
with
your
story? That doesn't mean you shouldn't pick up behind yourself.
That you don't have any money. That you don't have any money, I should say.
I don't have any money.
She didn't have any money.
Well, ma'am, you don't. You're a woman, okay? And I don't know what it is you use, but this was something that I did. I regret it. I threw it against the wall. I'd been drinking too much. The next morning,
maybe you should have gone somewhere else, not the home.
Thanks for. All right, 877-876 Phil. Here is Bobby on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Hello. Hey, I was disgusted by this whole conversation in the first place until I found this guy was living in a 7,000 square foot house, right? And now he has.
Can I ask you a question? Can I ask you a question, sir? I always like to ask, have you been drinking?
Don't ask the gentleman that.
I just wanted to know.
Don't ask the gentleman that. You don't have to answer that, sir. So what's your comment, Bobby?
All right, fine.
Living in a 7,000 square foot house, right? That's a big house. And now you have to live in an apartment and you can't pick up a condom because maid service doesn't come in?
That was not it. What I'm saying is the following thing. My wife throws me out.
You got kicked out of a 7,000 square foot house, and you got kids coming over, and you can't pick up a rubber get with the real world, dude.
I
get down here with the rest of us.
Oh, you do pick up
down here with the rest of us. You, for the love of God, man, do you think you are just that much better?
No, I don't think I'm better, but I am busy.
I'm busy. Picking them up.
Why don't you come over and clean? Yes, she did. By mistake.
Why don't I come over or what?
Why don't you come over? And clean up my house. You're so attentive.
Come out there and clean up your house. In California, the rest of your fruits.
You call me a fruit.
You know what?
Are you calling me queer? Are you calling me queer?
All right, let's not say that, okay?
You sound like you are. Maybe your wife left you for a good reason.
You know, I'll tell you something, Bobby. And the only guys I know named Bobby are riding bicycles around with ski caps on.
Really?
Why don't you come out here to Quincy Mass and say, I bet you don't have a smile on your face too long. One whiff from your would probably blow the entire block up.
All right, come on.
I'm telling this guy right now that I was drunk. I was as drunk as he is right now when I threw that condom against the wall.
And my daughter found it,
and I'm sorry about it.
And you sit there and bitch about it.
That's right.
You're living in an apartment. You know what, dude?
It is a legal issue. My apartment, I could not clean the apartment up, and I got Child Protective Services telling me
you can't clean a rubber up off the floor, right, when your kids are coming over?
When I threw it against the wall, it slid down behind the stereo.
It what?
You're a pathetic excuse. Pathetic excuse.
You call me names, but you can't tell me why. You can't tell me
pathetic.
Why.
He just told you.
Pathetic.
He told you.
If you're so interested
pathetic.
In how I keep my house.
Your daughter's the one that found it, okay? All right, Bobby, thanks for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Bill in Raleigh, North Carolina. Bill, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Robert Green. You're hearing what people are saying.
Yeah, because they don't have all the information.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Mr. Green. First of all, I think it's a great idea that somebody started a single father's fund, but I don't agree with anything
you're
saying. I'm a single father. Through my whole separation, divorce, everything, I concentrated on a 4-year-old daughter, not pornography or entertaining.
You were entertaining young women, weren't you?
See, that's the thing that gets me. You just are separated from your wife, and you've got the chicks coming over.
Oh, okay. So now I have to apologize for that.
You would really need a hell of a legal fund to try to get custody of your children if there's condoms laying around. I mean, I guess you don't find that normal.
Let me ask you this: I know that you were not dating, but if you had been dating, you realize it would be normal for condoms to be laying around your house, right?
Yeah, there's nothing normal about that. I'm in my mid-30s. I've been concentrating on me and my daughter's mental health. I'm just saying,
if you were out dating, let's just say you were out dating, wouldn't it be true that while your daughter is living over there or visiting, there'd be open condom wrappers laying around?
Why would that be true? I understand if you were saying when you're first separated, and for me things were hard financially, and I could understand if you were trying to make an argument saying guys are less clean, or if you left the whole condom issue, the pornography and everything just out of it, and I think people were saying.
That's a good point. I mean, why do you bring up the condoms and why do you bring up the...
Because you had the story about the kid with the condom in the hotel.
Yeah, but it's got nothing to do with your thing, man. But this man's right. If you're just saying it's hard to keep the place clean and it's unhygienic and I fear for my kids, that would have been something that perhaps even people would call and sympathize with. But you say, I got a used condom laying around.
Mr. Henry, I said that, first of all, to let people know that I'm not, and I have nothing against them, but I'm not a homosexual. Number two.
What difference does that make if we're talking?
The whole thing is why, as a single father, if you're concerned about kids and the custody and your custody arrangement with your children, you should live a certain way.
Of course I should, and I want to. But my ex-wife was a sadist.
You don't have a clue about ex-wives. I could compare ex-wives with you, and I found out that I married Lucifer itself. So,
I feel for you, but I understand that
such an evil woman, you wouldn't be out trying to hook up with another one.
Boy, is that the truth, man? You can't wait to jump in with another woman, man.
Well, you guys can laugh all you want because I know it's your show, Mr. Henry, and everybody thinks you're a big laugh riot. But the woman I was married to loved the fact there were rubbers laying around. Loved it.
Loved it.
Yeah.
All right, listen, Bill, thank you very much, sir. Good call, and best of luck to you and your family. 877-876-PHIL. And we'll take a break here from Robert Greene's tale, The Legal Fund for Single Fathers. His daughter finds a used condom laying on the living room floor one Saturday morning when the kids are visiting that Bob had thrown against a wall the night before, and he's blaming his ex-wife and the fact that she's soaking him for spousal support and child support that he can't afford a maid. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back to our show. So you've got one of those basketball hoops over a garbage can.
Yes, I do. And you laugh, Phil, because everybody has one of those. That's what I was aiming for.
You take off a condom, and you're aiming at this garbage can with the basketball hoop, and you missed it.
If I missed it, I missed it. My daughter found the condom the next day, and I said, honey, that's not a swimming cap or whatever she was doing with it. And I immediately went into the bedroom and picked up the phone and called her mother, who is a sadist, and I said, you'll be happy to hear that your daughter found a used condom on the floor in my living room. I knew she was laughing. I knew she was laughing.
Was she laughing, or was she...
She was pretending like she was angry. I bet you she got off the phone and laughed till her ass gave out.
877-876-PHIL. Let's move to a phone call here before we end the hour. Travis in New Bern, North Carolina. Travis, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Robert Greene.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Yes,
how you doing,
I'm good. Thank you.
Mr. Greene, how old was your daughter during all this happened?
9 years old.
9 years old. Okay.
That's correct.
I myself am going through a separation right now. When my son comes over, I have all my attention and time devoted directly to him. Not enough time for him to climb behind a stereo and find anything at all without me being right on top of him. You kind of get what I'm saying? Yeah, apparently...
Well, he sounds like he's very young.
You're a lousy cleaner, you're a lousy father, and you sound like a mom. You sound like a mama boy to me, to be honest.
Nobody's here to clean.
I bet she made your life every day, didn't she? You little mama's boy. You're amazing.
You know what? What's your problem? You got a little 3-year-old kid that crawls behind a sofa. This is a 9-year-old girl.
I tell you one thing. I know one
thing.
Maybe
your kid is 16 and he's crawling behind a sofa.
All right.
Look, I tell you what, Mr. Greene. Everybody that's listening to this
just
knows.
Can I talk?
Will you be quiet?
No, you can't talk. No, you can't because you called me a mama's boy. So now
you
what
are
I
a mama's
do
boy.
Is question your sexual
boy.
Orientation. Don't you date women? Yeah.
Yes, sir.
All right. I'm going to conclude this.
Mr. Phil, this guy is a joke.
Because I go out with women, and I made the mistake.
You can go out with all the women you want. You're still not going to make up for it as being a father. That's why your daughter will grow up. And she will realize that you're an idiot. Thank you, Mr. Phil.
She will, huh?
Thank you very much, sir.
Is that guy hanging up?
That's what he's doing. He's hanging up.
No guts. Boy, I knew it. The minute I heard that guy...
That's not the point here. The point that the man is making, and I think that he made a very good point, is that being a father means knowing what your kids are going to get into. Travis in Nashville, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, man. I was sitting here. I've been listening to this guy. Man, I'm a single father myself. I have two daughters. And I have been drunk, and I've had women over, and I have never, ever in my life left nothing like that for my kids to find. I mean, it sounds like to me that you just doggone a nasty person that do not clean up.
Don't you have one of those basketball hoops over the garbage can?
No, I do not have a basketball hoop over the garbage can. You mean tell me you couldn't get up and go into the bathroom and put it in the toilet and flush it? I mean, dude.
That's just common
sense. Cleaning up, man. I mean, doggone.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, you sound like a real idiot, man.
No.
There's no
you
way
know
that I would let my daughter,
I
let my child find something like that, man. I mean, come on, dude. What kind of person are you?
Well,
what kind of man are you?
You're not being honest when you say
If you got a basketball hoop over a garbage can, you may throw a lot of stuff at it, not a condom.
Maybe you won't, but I do.
Phil Hendry.
Good luck.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
No, I'm feeling okay. It was a little bit nerve-wracking in the beginning.
When you're looking at this kind of event, there'll be a laser-focused media interest.
My appetite was gone. When I got back home, my niece informed me what was on
the picked August 28th. It was open in my schedule.
Giant douche nozzle.
Is there a smoke wolf?
No, not really.
World-famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Every night here till 1 o'clock and 4 a.m., we've got truth, and it's our bitch. Vernon Dozier is going to be joining us this hour, plus still to come, Doug Danger discussing the best Beatles songs as listed by Rolling Stone magazine and Bud's Nightly News, Bud Dickman's Nightly News. Our website is philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com, where you go for live streaming video of our show, live streaming audio. This is the only radio show in the world, worth watching. And I got to tell you, you got to watch it to understand what it is I'm talking about. But we've made more fans of this show watching the video than in recent months than we have people just listening to the show. So check us out at philhendryshow.com. Coming up this hour is a high school educator and a teacher and a person who deals with issues, news issues, and world issues, but seeing them through the eyes of a teacher, Vernon Dozier. And we're going to be talking about this story. Time Magazine is, like so many media outlets, the veracity, that is the truthfulness of what they report, is relative. And I'm not saying that they're bad people. I'm just saying they got to sell magazines. The headline here says, Mosque Rage Boils Over. Anti-Muslim attacks increasing across the United States as protests in downtown Manhattan over the Ground Zero Mosque have escalated. Violent incidents involving Muslims have increased. Last night, a drunk man barged into a Queens mosque and shouted anti-Muslim slurs at the congregation during the nightly prayers. He then proceeded to urinate on the prayer rugs and gave all the congregants the finger. Two men managed to subdue him and call 911. The incident, which occurred at the Iman Mosque on Steinway Street in Astoria, is the latest in anti-Muslim incidents that are being reported across the country. According to the Council of American Islamic Relations, quote, and this is a man by the name of, or it might be a woman, Faiza N. Ali, the constant vilification of Islam and its adherents over the air on talk radio and peddled by some politicians is contributing to the rise in anti-Muslim sentiment across the country. On Tuesday, on the same night that this New York City cabbie was stabbed, a mosque in Madera, California was vandalized with a sign reading, Wake up, America, the enemy is here. So it's one thing to say that there is a mosque they're considering for Ground Zero that probably ain't cool. It's another thing to start going after just anybody in a mosque. I mean, some of these people are Americans. I mean, most of them are Americans. What are we doing? We're attacking our fellow citizens who've never done a thing to us? And one of the things I resent, and I resent this violently, and I've had friends of mine say to me, Islam is a gutter religion, as they've called it. They have vilified the entire religion, and that brother, you've just crossed the line with me on that, man. Because, hey, I'm not a big religion person, but I'll tell you this much. You can't just go around and say, well, my religion's cool and that one sucks. I ain't seen nothing out of that religion. Like, for instance, some religions where they sacrifice animals or let kids smoke dope. I ain't seen nothing like that coming out of the Islamic faith. And if you want to start comparing Christianity and Islam and Judaism, that is a fight nobody's going to win, believe me. 877-876-PHIL. Now, I know what I just said probably is not going to make my next guest. Let me turn this music off here, if we could, bud. Thank you. I know what I just said is not going to make my next guest very, very happy. It's Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy in Glendale, California. Vernon, let me ask you this. Do you think Islam is a gutter religion?
No, I don't. I don't think Islam is a gutter religion. That's not the point, Phil. The point is that the point is what you mentioned at the very beginning of your programming tonight. There is rage. There's anger.
You're not excusing these violent acts, are you?
I am not excusing the violent acts, but I don't want to get into discussing these reactions. I do not endorse them, no. But I'll tell you something. People are angry. And the reason why people are angry is because we have said it over and over and over. We don't want this mosque down there. And they're going to go ahead and they're going to put it in there anyway. And I'm taken back a number of years when I was a boy and I was 13 years of age. And I said to my mother that I had not done something that she'd accused me of doing. And she said I did it anyway. That was my first taste.
And your first taste of what?
My first taste of that rage I'm talking about. When someone says to you, this is the way it's going to be. And in the case of my mother, and God forgive me and excuse me, Phil, but, you know, she's pointing. This is very personal. I don't know whether you want me to.
Well, if it's really personal.
Well, she's pointing to a pair of underwear, accusing me of having done something. I said to her that.
I understand. So your mother, you're saying in light of this mosque situation.
In light of the mosque, the denial of people's feelings is a very dangerous thing. The denial and saying to people that they don't have the right to feel hurt, that they don't have the right. And Americans are angry. And I'm here tonight to tell you, and I'm here tonight to tell anybody that doesn't understand that, that Americans are angry. And we are so angry that we are willing, I think every one of us now, because I have read the editorials and I've been talking to a lot of people and I listen to a lot of talk radio. I'm a talk radio junkie, and I listen to all of the shows. I listen to yours. I listen to this man Humphreys. I listen to
Rusty Humphreys.
Rusty Humphreys. I listen to Laura Ingraham. I listen to Michael Savage. I listen to all the shows, and I'm hearing Americans saying the same thing. We're sick and tired of it, and we're willing, if it means that we keep a mosque out of the sacred, the hallowed grounds of Ground Zero, if it means that we can keep this mosque from going up, then we're ready to walk away from religion entirely in this country. And that is, as you know, Phil, a big big step, but Americans are now willing to take it.
Walk away from religion in what sense?
In the sense that we would, if it took denying freedom of religion to keep these people from sticking their mosque anywhere they feel like it, you see, because they keep saying, we're free, free, free.
And well, they are. I mean, they are. That is the freedom of religion that we have.
I understand that. But we are so perturbed by this, that this freedom of religion allows these people to put their mosque near this Ground Zero where people don't want it to be, and people are offended by it being there, that we are now willing, and I think I speak for a lot of Americans, we're willing to take that First Amendment and, quite frankly, either repeal it or put it on ice or however you want to put it.
You want to take one of the amendments in the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of our Constitution, what we call the Bill of Rights.
That is correct.
And you want to repeal freedom of religion.
If it means this, if this is what religion has now come to mean in our country, people putting their mosques right on top of the gravesite of other people, I don't need to go to church. I would gladly, and I think what I'm saying is basically this, and I think a lot of people are saying this, I think more and more you're hearing Americans saying this every day. I would gladly not go to another church service, never again, if it means that these five times a day, or however you want to put it,
Are you against the religion?
No, I am not against the religion.
You're just against the mosque.
I'm against the mosque, but it's come to the point now where if you're against the mosque, you're against their religion. So to prove that I'm not against their religion, to prove that it's always been about the mosque, I'm happy to never again worship Jesus Christ if it means I can keep them from opening their mouths and ruining another day that I've got to live on this planet. Because, Bill, you know, right now...
You're telling me that a lot of Americans...
Right now, yes, that's exactly what I'm telling you. Right now, Americans are so ready to just walk away from the whole idea of organized religion because of these people. We had, in our country at one time, Phil, we have a great many religions, and we had Islam in this country, but along comes this guy, and I forget his name, who wants to put the mosque up, and he has to do it like a loud... you were talking about alcoholics, or you were talking about drinking last hour, I think, or some part of what you were saying. It's almost like a drunk coming into a party. You got a nice party, and here comes a drunk. And I don't know about you, there's one thing I don't like. I don't like drunks. My mother drank, and I didn't like it. I never liked it. I didn't like the smell of it, and I didn't like what it did to people. And so when I see a drunk, I don't like it. And we'll just, you know, let that go. But at one time in our country, we had freedom of religion. And we had a lot of religion, and everybody was free with it. And then along comes this joker with his mosque at Ground Zero, like a drunk that has stumbled into a party and vomited all over the room. Well, I am, like millions of Americans, I am willing to swear today that I will never again worship Jesus Christ if it means I can get rid of this mosque and Islam and all of it.
Judaism.
Oh, you name it, all of it. I think religion has worn out its welcome in this country. And I'm telling you, I'm a very spiritual person.
And you're never going to do it, you know.
Never going to do what?
You're not going to repeal the First Amendment.
Well, maybe I won't repeal the First Amendment. What I'm saying to you is I'm expressing how millions of Americans feel. And you know something, Phil? It's a funny thing. If millions of people feel this way, I would never say never if I were you.
It's not going to happen. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. Talking to Vernon Dozier about the mosque rage boiling over in the United States against Islam, and his feeling that Americans are so angry, they're willing to walk away from the First Amendment entirely if it means we don't have to have this mosque controversy. I don't know who you're talking to, Vernon.
I'm talking to a lot of Americans, just like you.
All right, hold on. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Vernon Dozier in this very interesting topic, the repeal of the First Amendment. Just get rid of religion, because look at all the mess it's causing here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back. 877-876-PHIL. With me is Vernon Dozier, who is a high school teacher from Glendale, California, Belmar Academy, a member of the board of the administration there. And this other story here, Vernon, is we're talking about the Ground Zero Mosque and your feeling from the people that you're talking to that this has become such a headache and such, it's really angering people so much that they're willing to give up freedom of religion just to get rid of this mosque.
Now,
hold on, because I want to get back to this story here. New York filmmaker, the guy's a film student. What do they get this filmmaker stuff? Charged with stabbing a cab driver for being Muslim. Now, this was a college student who did volunteer work in Afghanistan. He was charged Wednesday with using a folding tool to slash the neck and face of a New York City taxi driver, Ahmed H. Sharif, after the driver said he is a Muslim. A criminal complaint alleged that Michael Enright uttered an Arabic greeting and told the victim, consider this a checkpoint, before the brutal bias attack occurred. This is not the kind of anger you're talking about, right?
No, this don't. I want it to be very, very clear. I want to make it very clear. No, I am not talking about this kind of anger. I'm talking, Phil, about everybody. I don't want it to get like that. I don't want it to get worse. I want it to become something that we can handle, something that we can say, all right, now we've gotten, you know, what we want to say, but, you know, if you want all of this, see, it's frustrating because I know you think I'm kidding.
No, I'm not. No, go ahead.
I'm telling you there are millions of Americans right now, who will say no more Christmas, no more Easter, no more of any of these whatever you want to call them, holy days, if we can get rid of this mosque.
No more religion.
That's where it's gotten to. And I can tell by the way you're talking to me, you don't take me serious.
Why do you say that?
Because you're very matter of fact. We'll be back with Mr. Dozier. You know.
Well, sir, I'm trying to be polite, and I'm not trying to dismiss you, but I've told you I don't think it's going to happen.
And you're wrong. I'm telling you right now you're wrong, and anyone says that, that doesn't understand. I think you remember something called, a little something that was in the newspaper a while back called the Tea Party. You've heard of them, right?
Of course I have.
Yeah, of course you have. People laughed at them. They thought they were freaks. They thought they were weird. They thought they were a bunch of oddballs. Maybe they were. But guess what happened? The Tea Party basically now runs the political process in America. After all of these, you know, these smart mouth... And I'll tell you something else. If you think that I'm kidding, and you think the American people are kidding, when we say that we would gladly, happily, with a smile on our face, never again even think about God, if it means you can keep this mosque out of ground zero, we do it. Now, I know that you don't believe me, but I'm telling you, there is a movement afoot in this country right now.
Well, you know, I do a talk radio show, sir, and that means I pretty much got a decent connection to the culture at large, and I haven't heard any kind of discussion of this at all.
Well, Mr. Henry, I would say that you do not have the connection to the culture at large that you thought you did.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Well, what about it, folks? Do you agree with Mr. Dozier? You're ready to walk away from religion entirely if it keeps this mosque out of New York. Here is Bob in Durham, North Carolina. Bob, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, Phil. Hi. I think Mr. Dozier is absolutely wrong. There's a very slim minority of people who are willing to walk away from religion completely or get rid of the First Amendment simply because somebody wants to put a mosque at ground zero. It's not about the First Amendment. The mosque isn't about the First Amendment or the right to worship or restricting anybody's right to worship. What it's about is keeping a mosque.
From people. Yeah, what's it about? You can't even think. See, you're confused. You're confused. You're confused. You can't even spit out your opinion.
Zero, and from getting them, you know, from our sacred ground to ground zero, and then them having placed a mosque there, and then all of a sudden declaring that Islamic holy ground on a par with the Dome of the Rock.
Wait a minute. Here's what you just said, Bob. You said the reason why we want the mosque out of there is because, you know, it's not for, you stumbled for about a minute. Now, why don't you just spit it out? You don't want religion causing this kind of upset in our country anymore. Because if
it has nothing to do with that. I really don't care.
Well, when you were trying to explain it, you were like, look.
Islam worships, you know, if they're Christian, Jew, Muslim, Buddhist, Satanist, that's not my problem. I have no problem with any of that. That's not a problem at all.
I do.
Personally, I'm a Christian, and I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with any of it. I'm just saying what is sacred ground to us should not be given to somebody else so that it could be claimed as sacred ground for them on a par with the Dome of the Rock so that they can wage jihad over some sacred ground that's not even in territory that they belong to begin with.
Well, that doesn't make any sense at all. You know,
Matt, what do you mean that doesn't make sense? That makes sense.
No, if you're not willing to walk away from religion entirely, you're one of the few in this country who just don't really care all that much.
No, mosque.
And I care. I'm ready to spit blood.
All people want to do is get us to walk away from religion, and the next thing you know, there's no religion in this country, there's no freedom in this country,
and if you want people to
walk away from religion and usher in the end times, that's up
no,
to
sir.
You. But that's,
I'm
just,
saying,
that's
let's, just let's, I'm saying let's walk away from religion, let's walk away from religion and have more freedom. That's what I'm saying. More freedom. So you never considered that, did you?
Walk away from religion. When you walk away from religion,
you'll have more freedom.
All right, listen, thank you very much, Bob, for your call. I've got a little bit of a connection problem. As a matter of fact, my entire phone screening software looks so weird right now. It's black and white and...
red all over. You know, it's like the old joke.
Yeah. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back here with the Vernon Dozier as we talk more about the Ground Zero Mosque. Is it worth it to you to walk away from religion? No more freedom of religion if we can get rid of that mosque and get rid of all of this contretemps about religion. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Black and white and red all over.
World famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. As we talk about the Ground Zero Mosque here with Vernon Dozier, who has, he's an educator. You are an educator of young people, high school students, Vernon. And so you have the not only the ear of young people, but you have the influence over them. Are you something you would take up with the class when school is in?
Actually, Phil, our class has started a week ago.
Oh, okay. So are you back to work?
We are with some of our civics, some of our world history, and we have what's called government. But not all of our classes, not all of our electives. But yes, to answer your question, I would love to take the pulse of young people. But we're talking about the real world right now. Young people are going to be a part of that world. But right now, the American people are so disgusted and fed up with the parking of a mosque, which I know they didn't have nothing to do with 9/11, but... you're looking at that, and the first thing that comes to my mind when I see that is a plane disintegrating into a building.
When you see a mosque?
When I see a mosque, the first thing I think of is just airplane building, no more plane, building on fire. Now, the second thing I want to say is this. I've always been an admirer of the American system. I love America, but if there's one thing the communists got right, they got rid of that religion. I'm telling you, Phil, they kicked that to the curb, and they were right. They were dead right. And I saw a documentary on television the other night. It was one of these gentlemen from the Communist Party, and it was a very old film, and he was had a big, long goatee, and he had one of these beatnik hats on, And I remember thinking to myself, if a pack of beatniks can get it right, why can't the American people get it right? Well, we have.
And what do you mean a pack of beatniks? Are you talking about...
I'm talking about the communists.
Yeah, okay. I didn't know who you were talking about.
I'm talking about the that's all they were, beatnik bums. That's all they were. They had a system of government that lasted 70 years. They were nothing but bums, but they did get one thing right. And that's what I'm saying. If a pack of beatnik bums can get one thing right, and that is the elimination of religion, why can't we? Do you understand what I'm saying, Phil?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand your reference to beatnik bums. Well, you know what? A lot of people would say that that was the downfall of the Soviet system, that there was no spirituality or religion. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Renee in Greensboro, North Carolina. Renee, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Hi, I would like to comment on a former caller that said that your listeners are willing to get rid of God altogether in order to not have the mosque
in
New York City.
That was me, ma'am.
Yeah, that's my guest, Mr. Dozier. He's on the line right now.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I do not think that that is an accurate statement or depiction of the majority of the listeners to this talk radio show, and I just wanted to make that comment and let you know that everyone is not willing to give up religion, give up God, and give up holidays and things of that nature just not to have a mosque. And I think what's happening here in America is we're operating in a state of fear. I do believe that we need to protect our country. I am all for protecting our country, but I also believe what's happening with a lot of people like yourself is that you're picking up a hatred towards people and you're generalizing a certain people. No, let me finish. You've been talking.
I'm not.
Wait.
If I just hate them, I wouldn't want to give up Christianity. You see what I'm saying? I'm not. This is a equal opportunity. Getting rid of all religion.
All right, let's let the lady finish.
You're not letting me finish, so please, I'll respect you and let you talk as well. But basically, what I am saying is, I am a Christian.
Years ago, when I said...
Would you hold on, Mr. Dozier?
Are you going to let me talk?
Yeah, go ahead, Renee.
I am a Christian. I love God. I am not willing to give up God nor my religion. In America, we have a constitution, and we have freedom of speech. We have freedom of religion. And so you're saying throw out one religion against all others. I am not a Muslim. I never planned to be a Muslim.
I do not agree with it.
And I don't think it's right to target every Muslim. Do need to protect our country? Yes. But do I think that you all should start hating and every time you see a Muslim or a mosque, you think of 911?
You've been sitting there, Mr. Dozier, saying that you don't agree, you don't. What this lady just said is true. You said every time you see a mosque, you see a plane going into a building.
Can you blame me?
And every time you see an Arab, you see a plane going into a building. You know, it's just like we start to generalize. And that's just like saying every time you see a black person, you see someone getting shot. You can't do that. That's
what?
How you feel hate. That's like saying... It's fueling hate. It's a connection. Like, it's the same thing.
I never said anything. Every time I see a black guy, I think about a basketball getting dunked. But
well,
that's
isn't that funny?
No, I didn't say that.
That's what she's saying.
I'm kidding. I'm joking. It's a joke.
But that's negative, too. That's all you can think of when you see a black person. You can't think of a president.
I was joking. Yes, of course I do. I think of a president, man. I'm kidding around, man. But what I am saying is this. If you take, I ain't saying that I hate Muslims. What I want to say is this: get rid of all of it. Get rid of all of it. Get rid of the Christian, the Jew, all that. So we got none of that. See, because I said the commies.
But what
I'm
saying is, why would you want to get rid of something that is a freedom and a liberty? The problem is not the freedom and the liberty. The problem is that we have terrorists, and they might operate under any religion.
We had a guy. Look what it's done. We got a guy who wants to put a mosque down where people have great sorrow, and another guy walked into a mosque last night and urinated on their magic carpet or whatever they call it. I don't know what they call it.
Look, you're being disrespectful, okay?
How am I being disrespectful?
Magic carpet.
I don't know what they call it.
It's a prayer rug.
Well, you know, see, Phil, this is the whole thing. When a guy comes on your show, as I have tonight, and I've said, get rid of all religion, you immediately think all I really mean is Islam. I don't. I said... A bunch of beatniks in Moscow got it right.
Another term that is derogatory.
Ma'am, tell me that religion hasn't caused more problems in this country than it's solved.
Well, you're going to get an argument about that.
Religion has caused problems, so has a lot of other things. There's corrupt politicians. There are people like you that are fueled by hate and don't want to deal with it. Some of the stuff that you say is... Well, why are you using derogatory terms to describe things, and why can't you not call the magic carpet by its proper name? I don't agree with the religion.
Well, what do they call it? They call it a flying carpet, don't they?
I operate in peace and love, so I don't have to.
Right.
I don't have to curse everything around me that I don't agree with. I don't have to try to get rid of everything.
I just don't know what they call it. I don't know what they call it. It's a flying carpet, right?
Your method will not work. There's a lot of Americans.
It's not a flying carpet.
Ma'am, I would just say that. I agree with you. I understand what you're saying, but.
So I'm not sure if you're atheist.
Well, you're in the minority.
You're saying that's okay, but that's not okay.
Let me ask you something. I want to ask you this. Here is Renee. You have a law that's passed. Let's say we repeal the First Amendment, no more religion. But there's Renee, and she's still worshiping, and now she has to go underground. She has to be like one of the early Christians, go into the catacombs or something. What are you going to do to her?
Oh, well, don't be so dramatic, okay?
Well, you're going to be looking for people like that and saying you're not allowed to worship.
Look, you're missing the point here. You want to turn me into Adolf Hitler. I'm trying to say that religion, at that mosque, a lot of people are mad. A lot of people are ready to strip their clothes off and run through the streets. That's what's going on. And I'm trying to figure out a way to see this thing through. I say you get rid of religion.
And if Renee is still worshiping after you get rid of religion, what do?
Again, you're being very dramatic. You see, you're being dramatic, and you want to be the big hero.
But no, I mean, what are you?
And I'm wearing a swastika, and I'm looking for Renee.
No, what is your solution for someone who is still worshiping?
If they're not making a big deal out of it, I got no problem with it. But if they got their cathedral,
I'm telling you.
Yeah, okay.
Now listen, because I know people that are Muslim and I am not Muslim. We do not get along. Just like I know people Jehovah's Witnesses. I am not Jehovah's Witness. I am not Catholic. I'm not a lot of things. Okay?
These people that have their big church, I have my religion.
I believe in God.
Right.
I believe in Jesus. Okay?
Yeah,
everybody doesn't believe.
You can worship
but
your,
what I am
but these big
no,
churches.
Listen, excuse
all right.
Me.
All right. I got to get to another call, but I do appreciate Renee very much your call. Thank you. And I think that you were butting in quite a bit there. Vernon.
I was butting in. You gave that link.
No, you were butting in every time she's making a point.
You asked me, what would I do?
Yeah, and you can't answer that. You're saying, don't make a big deal out of it. Don't be so dramatic.
I said, if the lady is worshiping and she doesn't have some big, ugly Taj Mahal that everybody's got to kiss the guy's rear end that built it.
Kiss the guy's rear end that built it.
I'm talking about they put these mosques, these churches up, and you got to kiss the hind end of the architect, the guy that built it. Oh, boy, it's the eighth wonder of the world. I mean, half the stuff that we've got in this world today that we worship as being the, don't they have the seven wonders of the world?
Yeah.
Okay, aren't they like churches? And
no, the seven wonders of the world, they're all natural.
I mean natural?
I mean for the Grand Canyon, you know, things like that.
Oh, the hell they are. The seven wonders of the world.
No, the seven wonders of the world are natural, naturally occurring facets, features of nature. They're not necessarily buildings.
Well, you've got that wrong because they've got...
Well, I may have it wrong, but I got to get on to another call. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Kevin. Go ahead, Kevin. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Vernon Dozier.
Hello, Mr. Dozier. Let me just tell you something. Okay, it was radical Muslims that took down Twin Towers in New York City in Lower Manhattan.
That's right.
Okay,
That's right.
Listen to me. This has nothing to do with religious freedom. It has absolutely nothing to do with it. And what it does have to do with is the fact that they're wanting to put a mosque on hallowed ground, okay? I mean, they wouldn't, listen, the Japanese wouldn't put a Japanese temple on the sunken ships over there in Pearl Harbor. That's just not going to happen because that's considered hallowed ground. This has nothing to do, why should I have to sacrifice my beliefs or anybody else in this country? I mean, listen, our soldiers fought for all of our freedoms, freedom of religion, freedom of everything, where that we get to choose whatever we want to do. I mean, this has nothing to do.
Yeah, but you're the guy that's saying they can't put that mosque down there. What do you mean freedom? You want to keep them from? I'm saying, let's get rid of the whole thing. Let's get rid of the whole thing.
No, you know, listen to me. Listen, there's 100 mosques in New York City, I'm sure, and there's no problem with. I have no problem with somebody putting a mosque, but you don't put it. You don't stick it in our face by putting it on hallowed ground. You just don't do it.
I agree. I totally agree. But I'm saying the way to get rid of this whole problem is let's just take religion. I said it to the lady. I'll say it to you. This beatnik over in Moscow.
What do you mean beatnik?
The guys with the goatees.
Communists. You talk about the communist system?
Yes, but the one guy I was thinking of, they got rid of religion. Okay.
Well, it really did them a lot of good, man, because their system of government lasted, what, 70 years?
If they had... They got... That part they got right is what I'm trying to say. The rest of it, yeah, they messed up.
Because they were beatniks.
Well, you don't like me using that word, so...
All right, the point being, you say the commies got rid of religion, and that's some kind of a recommendation of their system.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. You keep saying it, and I'm saying their entire system was corrupt. Their entire system was it didn't even exist, man. It was built on nothing. So what's your point?
Okay, I'll shut up. You got it all together. You guys all got it all figured out.
And just like this, just like what the lady said. I mean, what are you going to do if they take away our religious freedoms? What are they going to do? Just like the lady before. What are you going to do?
How are you going to stop somebody from worshiping? You're right. All right, sir. Kevin, thank you very much. Our number 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Vernon Dozier, who is with us. He's an educator from Glendale, California, saying that the solution to this entire problem with the mosque at Ground Zero is religious freedom has run its course, that this is what has been the cause of all of these problems, and that the First Amendment should be repealed. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
If a bunch of beatniks, you know...
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Vernon Dozier as we talk about the Ground Zero Mosque and the notion that Mr. Dozier has, and you claim many others, that freedom of religion has run its course in America and that we need to repeal the First Amendment.
And I wanted to make this point before you went to another phone call, Phil. The seven wonders of the world are man-made. You misspoke.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Although it's technically the seven wonders of the ancient world.
No, it is not. No, it is not.
Well, then what? I said the seven wonders of the natural world.
Well, Mr. Hendry, you can rename it anything you want. You can call it the seven wonders of Phil Hendry's world if you want, because that...
No, I'm not saying... Sir, I'm not saying that.
I'm saying the seven wonders of the world are man-made. The seven wonders of your world... That's anybody's guess.
Look, let's not be disparaging. I was thinking of something else.
Okay, you were thinking of the seven wonders of the Phil Hendry world. I'm talking about the seven wonders of the world everyone else lives in. And I'm talking about...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the Great Pyramid of Gaza, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, the Statue of Zeus at Olympia, the Temple of Artemis at Ephesus, the Mausoleum of Marcellus at... I can't pronounce that. Colossus of Rhodes and the Lighthouse at Alexandria. Thank you. And that's got nothing to do with the Grand Canyon.
Okay, fine. You were right. I mean, I
Well, you've been treating me tonight, sir, as if I'm some sort of a... excuse me, but as if I'm some kid sitting in the corner with a misshapen head, you know, and I've tried to...
There's no need to get into that kind of descriptive... that kind of description, okay? You're right... I misspoke. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Melissa. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Melissa, go ahead.
Okay. Let's get down to the bottom line. First of all, it is our God-given right to choose, to worship to, whoever you want to. So, therefore, you cannot take all religion away. Otherwise, it's going to be a mass calamity. Just simple as that.
What do you mean a mass calamity? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? A mass calamity. I mean, we would get rid of this mosque nonsense.
We already deal with terrorists. Not to mention we deal with homegrown terrorists. I mean, it would just be a huge, huge mess. I agree with you. Religion has been the biggest problem in the world. But, it's not perfect. It's a man-made creation. We can't help it. The next problem.
See, that's the seven wonders of the world.
Yeah, a bunch of buildings built to pagan gods. Great and wonderful.
Mr. Hendry, though, said that they were. It was like a river and a cliff or something.
That's nice. You're right. I'm wrong.
All right.
Anyway,
go ahead, Melissa.
Like I was saying, couldn't we just compromise? I mean, seriously. Yes. There was great sorrow that happened. Yeah, there was great sorrow at 9/11. Couldn't we compromise and just get the people to move their mosque someplace else?
They ain't going to move their mosque. I mean, that's what you're talking about. See, you don't understand. They're not going to move it. They're not going to move. They're completely inflexible.
That.
They're completely inflexible. So that's why I'm saying, okay, you want to be inflexible? Great. No more religion. How do you treat your kids when you give them an option? And they, when you give them an option and they say, no, we won't take the option we want, then what do? You take the option away and say, okay, if that's the way you want it, now guess what? There won't be any dessert. Well, I think that the religions and I, when I tried to get a little bit of respect by saying, okay, the Lighthouse of Alexandria, you know, and I mentioned the Seven Wonders, and I got laughed at.
You know, you're really, I don't know why you're harping on this.
Because you said it was about... You said the Seven Wonders of the World had to do with just rock formations.
So what, man? So I was... Melissa, thank you for your call. 877... I was wrong. 877-876-PHIL. Matt at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Matt, go ahead.
Hey, Phil. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you.
Okay, look. I'm going to make this quick and brief. I spent 30 years in the Marine Corps. I got four son-in-laws on active duty right now and two grandsons, both of them in Afghanistan. I don't like the idea of the mosque there, but they have a right to put it there. It's the First Amendment. Now, Mr. Dozier wants to do away with all religion because he's torqued off about this mosque. I'm not going to do it. I didn't spend 30 years in the stinking Corps so that I could give up my freedoms, and neither anybody else. I think, Mr. Dozier, you are the minority. We are the majority.
Well, there's a lot of people out there that have just about, you said it right, torqued off about this place where these guys, they're just going to park it there, and nobody gets to say anything about it. And I'm saying, okay, if that's the way it's going to be, then I say we just get rid of the whole ball game, just like those beatniks did that Henry doesn't want me to mention. You see what I'm saying?
Mr. Dozier, you're cutting your nose off to spite your face. Do you understand that? Do you know anything about Islam? Do you know anything about it?
Do you? About what, Islam? No, I don't need to know anything about that.
Okay, then maybe you need to learn because I am married to a former Muslim.
They got
so
that,
you know what that makes
with
her?
All the arms. Isn't that the God with all the arms?
That's Hinduism. Hindustani. Something.
What?
Matt, thank you, sir. Thank you very much for your call. Anyway, thanks a lot, Vernon, and we'll see how this unfolds.
Yeah. Seven wonders of the ancient world.
Okay.
Phil. The pyramid.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Cool. You look like
cool
to me.
My appetite was gone. When I got back home, my niece informed me what was
we picked August 28th. It was open in my schedule.
Oh, I'm feeling okay. It was a little bit nerve-wracking in the
beginning. World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast.
Epic fail.
A news talk and thank you. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. And every night we'll take you through the looking glass to find that and more and beyond. And our website, philhendryshow.com. This is where you go to get, oh my goodness gracious, live streaming video of the show, all kinds of archive, five-day archive of our video. We've got character bits. We've got everything, man. We got our webisodes. We have TV pilots we've been involved in, the history of the show, the future of the show, the Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com. You got to have a backstage pass. Otherwise, you're missing like 75% of what's going on around here. Well, maybe not that much. Robert Leonard joining me along with Bud Dickman this hour as we talk in our news hour. We will also have Doug Danger on to talk with us about Rolling Stone's top Beatles songs. I don't know what possessed them, you know.
Well, the Beatles are important.
Yeah. I know, but all of a sudden out of the blue, hey, what are the top Beatles songs? Why now?
Because it's the anniversary, isn't it?
Anniversary of what?
It's like the anniversary of when they came out.
Who? The Beatles?
Yeah.
No, they didn't, man. They came out in like they came to the States in 64. It's the 40th anniversary of Let It Be.
I don't know what that is.
That's one of their albums. It's the 40th anniversary of Let It Be. Okay. So we'll look at that, and when we have Bud has the Bud Dickman Nightly News later on tonight as well. Now, there was an interesting event in the broadcast world. It had to do with Ed Schultz, but it's not really a news story because it's I suspect it's been misreported like a mother. I mean, I don't think the way they reported this, I don't think it went down this way.
Yeah, but I mean, they said it, he started bawling and everything.
I don't think he started bawling. Here's the story. MSNBC talk show screamer. See, this is the New York Post reporting this, and they are I guess, a kind of a conservative newspaper. But the Huffington Post also reported this and reported it equally biased against Ed Schultz. And as I said before the show, when I was talking, we do an hour uncensored pre-show on video for our subscribers. I said, you know, in my opinion, and it's just my opinion, the face of television news and the face of talk radio and the face of commentary everywhere is that there's conservatives and there's liberals. And the conservatives all get along really good and the liberals all get along really good and they go and they hang out with each other, you know.
Yeah, well, they probably do have a drink or something.
Well, maybe they got a drink every now and again, man. But the fact is, behind the scenes, everybody is trying to kill everybody else because this is called making a living, man. Everybody's competing. Ed Schultz is a liberal. And let's say, who? Okay, Keith Olbermann's a liberal. But Ed Schultz, he don't have any love for Keith Olbermann. They agree politically. But they hate each other's guts, probably, if Keith Olbermann ever even thinks about Ed Schultz. That's what the whole point of this story is about. Ed Schultz had a meltdown in the network's 30 Rock newsroom, shouting at staff, "I'm going to torch this bleeping place."
I wonder when they say bleeping, what it is.
Bud, you mean you win every time you hear some guy say bleeping, you're wondering what it is.
Yeah, it's always kind of curious to me. What do you say? Like the S?
The S, that wouldn't make any sense.
Come on, man, you know that it was an F.
Yeah, but it's always kind of amusing to me.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, right, so I'm a retard.
Hey, look, man, you're not supposed to use that word.
I mean,
just never mind. Yeah, you're right. It's very interesting, and I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah, sure.
The hot-tempered anchor of The Ed Show lost it during a phone call in the packed studio and slammed down the phone before exploding. As astonished MSNBC staff members fell silent, Schultz glared around the room and yelled, "Bleepers." Now, I don't know whether that's MFers or effers.
Probably effers.
See, I don't think it was effers because nobody says effers anymore. They say MFers.
Yeah. See, you, man, you all jacked up.
I don't know, but I think it's fascinating.
Boy, you really get your kicks, man, with some weird stuff.
You don't. Well, what did he say?
I don't care, man. It doesn't matter. He said something obscene. He was angry. That's the point. He was angry. He slammed the phone down. He said, "I'm going to torch this place." Now, what was he angry about? A witness told the New York Post, quote, "Ed was furious that the network was running election night promos and he wasn't in them. He'd been arguing on the phone with marketing, then he slammed down the phone and exploded. It was like Mel Gibson had entered the newsroom." Fuming, Schultz was immediately, quote, "dragged in for a meeting with NBC News President Steve Capus and MSNBC President Phil Griffin following his August 12th meltdown." August 12th is when this happened. It's now making it to the New York Post. Why? Because these guys can't wait to report on something, anything, that they think is going to be interesting, because most of the stuff they put in their newspaper, no one wants to read. One source added, Schultz was told, "If you do that again, you are fired." He broke down crying. By the way, folks, as I read this to you, I don't believe this story. I believe that he got angry. I believe he went into a meeting. I believe he might even have cried, but I don't believe that it is for the reasons being given here. I think the reasons being given here were given to the New York Post by some staffer who probably couldn't find their ass with both hands, has never been in a meeting between talent and management, and probably has got a problem with Ed Schultz to begin with, probably hates his guts and wants to spin it real, you know, real bad for Ed. And why do I think that? Because this just smells like it, man. First of all, newspapers don't know anything, and I mean nothing, about the environment of broadcasting. They know nothing about it. They think they do. They don't. They'd love to know. Half those cats wish they had a show. Those guys writing newspaper articles. Those guys that do newspaper columns, they can't believe all the power got pulled from them and now it belongs to some guy on television. It just drives them crazy. All right, anyway, one source added, Schultz was told, if you do that again, you're fired. He broke down crying. Yeah, bullcrap. Sources say the hothead was pushed over the edge by MSNBC's catering to bullying fellow anchor Keith Olbermann and its focus on golden girl Rachel Maddow. A second MSNBC source says Ed never gets any attention and love it. He finally snapped. Schultz, who's fronted his 6 p.m. show on MSNBC for 16 months, also doesn't hold back on his radio show. He once told White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs, you're full of crap, and after Fox News Channel's Glenn Beck revealed a condition that may make him go blind, Schultz said it's a travesty. He's not going to see the country he's trying to destroy. And a spokeswoman for Schultz and the network declined to comment on the incident, but said, quote, the only thing that's on fire are Ed's ratings, and the only people crying are at CNN. All right. So that's probably some kind of a comment that Ed's numbers went up against the CNN competition. In probably a number of categories. The only people crying are CNN. Maybe Ed was crying about, who knows, maybe he's just upset. I don't doubt the guy's pissed off that MSNBC's not giving him any love. And the reason why they're not giving you any love, Ed, is because your show sucks.
Yeah, I was going to say, man, why does somebody want to talk about the truth? You know.
Well, I'm saying it, you know, but I also want to give the guy the benefit that he wasn't crying like a baby and he wasn't, dragged into a meeting. They're going to drag the talent. They're going to say, hey, Ed, would you mind, sure. And he was probably very frustrated and angry, and maybe people thought he was crying. But, they're probably not giving him love because the show blows. You wonder why MSNBC put him on the air, and then you realize, well, that's their sort of their Glenn Beck move. And it's another one of those moves. You go, geez, boy, those cats are stupid. NBC. How stupid. So that's why, Ed, you're a nice guy, I'm sure, but your TV show blows just herds of buffalo, and Olbermann is the man, as irritating and psychotic as he is, and Rachel Maddow, she's the man. She's the woman, and so that is what that is. So, but I don't think this guy was bawling like a baby. And I think this, you know, it's one thing to kick a guy when he's down. I think it's a hell of a thing. You know, Schultz is probably not doing well compared to those guys. And so there's some little staffer over there at MSNBC trying to make his life miserable by leaking all this bull crap. Well, this is one guy that don't believe it, Ed, okay? Don't worry about it, man. I think you got to lie down, take a nap. Let me grab your show for a few weeks, you know.
That'd be bitching if you did that show. I bet you everybody watch it and everything.
I don't know. I doubt it. I don't think that. If I was on MSNBC, I would be fired within 2 days, man. They would blow me out of there. They would be saying things like, oh, gosh. I don't know. Lawrence O'Donnell would probably come in crying. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Now, coming up, Glenn Beck is having a rally on the very spot where Martin Luther King gave his dream speech. And it was pointed out to me by Rance, Al Sharpton has a problem with that because that's hallowed ground. You mean kind of like the mosque going down at Ground Zero, baby? Yeah! We'll have more of that and other stories. Blockbuster is going out of business, man. And more on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I am smiling.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Coming up, we got Bud's Nightly News, Bud Dickman's Nightly News. You want to go get ready for that?
Yeah. I'm going to go and rehearse.
Yeah, you rehearse, man.
I'm going to help him rehearse, man.
Hey, man, don't hit the microphone.
Sorry.
So Bud Dickman's Nightly News coming up. And this is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Quick news note here. Blockbuster tells Hollywood Studios it's preparing for mid-September bankruptcy. All right. After dominating the home video rental business for more than a decade and struggling to survive in recent years against upstarts Netflix and Redbox, Blockbuster, which ignored the internet and the opportunities there, just like a whole lot of other kinds of businesses, is preparing to file for bankruptcy next month, according to people who've been briefed on the matter and didn't want to be. Most of them, executives from Blockbuster and its senior debt holders last week, held meetings with the six major movie studios to discuss their intention to enter a pre-planned bankruptcy in mid-September, said several people familiar with the situation who requested anonymity due to the sensitivity of ongoing talks that they might carve a new ass to if they opened their mouths. Blockbuster is hoping to use its time in Chapter 11 to restructure a crippling debt load of nearly $1 billion and escape leases on 500 or more of its 3,425 stores in the U.S. Boy, I'll tell you, I remember when I was in Miami, Wayne Huizenga, who currently owns the Miami Dolphin football team, owned Blockbuster Video. Wayne Huizenga has a business model, and it's this. He rents things. He is the owner of Waste Management, or at least he was. Maybe he doesn't own that anymore. And what did he like about Waste Management? You rent garbage cans. Here's a garbage can. Put your garbage in it. I'll haul it away. You pay me for renting that garbage can. Why did he buy the Miami Dolphins? You rent seats. Here's a seat you can sit your ass in for a certain amount of time on Sunday and watch the football team. And why did he have Blockbuster Video? You can rent the video. He loved the whole idea of renting things. And then he turned around at a certain point, and he sold it to Viacom. And those are the jackballs, I think, that are going belly up with this thing right now, because that Sumner Redstone, he's a real, oh, isn't he such a genius? Yes, sure. He is. Blockbuster is not here, though. Blockbuster is hoping to reschedule its crippling debt. Good luck. They lost a total of $1.1 billion since the beginning of 2008. They've been severely hamstrung in efforts to grow their business due to interest payments on $920 million in debt. Oh, yeah. Earlier this month, and that's also something that Sirius Satellite, Sirius XM, you know, I shouldn't even bring them up, but they've got like $400 million in debt. In any event, last week, Dallas-based Blockbuster's chief executive, Jim Keyes, came to Los Angeles to hold individual meetings with executives at studios like 20th Century Fox, Paramount Pictures, Sony, Universal, and Warner Brothers. He was joined by a team of restructuring consultants, a bunch of guys in suits who were all saying, "You want to go get sushi?" Hired to turn around a struggling company, along with the senior debt holders who would likely end up owning a substantial portion of Blockbuster following bankruptcy. Former Sony Pictures Home Entertainment president Ben Feingold, who is serving as an advisor to the debt holders, was present as well, although no one noticed. Though its plans are not yet in stone, people knowledgeable about the discussions said the Blockbuster representatives presented a mid-September bankruptcy as the most likely scenario. It would enter what is known as a pre- Ah, who cares? They're going out of business. Netflix kicked their ass. Thank you. Next. That's what happens, man. You got to keep your eye on the ball, man. Oh, I don't know anything about the internet. Nobody wants to go over to Blockbuster, stand in a line 85 miles long, wait for the guy to do the thing, and where's your card, and, you know, go online, man. Canadian police charged three suspected in terror plot. One suspect appeared on Canadian Idol. Wait till you hear this story. This jackass, who is a terror suspect, also appeared on Canadian Idol. Now, that may sound weird to you, but the fact is, it's not as unusual as you might think. People who have been charged with harming this country, either by way of terror or espionage, oftentimes fall in love with America while they're here doing their thing. Now, I know this guy was on Canadian Idol, but what's the difference?
Yeah, right.
See what I'm saying? All right, it's time now before any further ado, and we'll get back to the Canadian Idol, and we'll get back to a lot of things we're going to get back to, including Doug Danger. Time now, though, for Bud's Nightly News. Bud Dickman now, and here is the Nightly News with Bud Dickman. Go ahead, Bud.
Yeah, Toyota's going to recall 133 Corolla because they're broken. Then a condom was in some soup. Then, in another news, Walmart is going to go to the Supreme Court because they're going to block a gender suit. And another one, yoga is good for you. That's what they said. In another one, Heidi Montag got a G-cup-sized boob. national news.
Now more news with Bud Dickman.
Dancing with the Stars is going to have Bristol Palin. And another one, the stock market is bad. It's bad. And Blagojevich got his brother off.
No, hold on. Blagojevich, brother gets off.
What?
Blagojevich, brother gets off.
Blagojevich, brother gets off. And another one, is that all the news we got?
Pretty much, yeah.
There's 17 million drunks. I'm Bud Dickman on the news.
Good, Bud.
Thanks. I got going. I think I didn't get enough news.
No, that's fine, man. There's 17 million drunks, huh?
Yeah, that's what the Bud Dickman news.
Okay, 17 million drunks, thanks.
What?
Yeah, man, no, that's okay, man.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
What are you talking about?
No, it's 17 million drunks. I like that. One of these days, though, man, you're going to have to give me the rest of the news story. You know, like 17 million drunks and what else?
What?
There's 17 million people are driving drunk. Driving drunk. All right, so getting back here to our Muslim friend. Guy's there on a Canadian Idol, and basically what he's doing is he's singing on Canadian Idol, and then he's arrested by the Canadian police as an alleged terrorist involved in a conspiracy. The guy's got bomb parts and plans, and they believe, the Canadians did, that they posed a very real and serious threat. One of them, a guy by the name of Khurram Shilar, had appeared on Canadian Idol, a show which is exactly like American Idol. As a matter of fact, we have this bozo singing. I don't know if you're going to want to hear it, but just, you know, in the interest of science.
You look like a fool to me. Tell me why you have to go and make things so complicated. I see the way.
See, he's angry because he can't sing and he'll never be able to sing, and so he's just going to blow Canada up.
I'd do that.
So anyway, what I was saying is this is interesting because what is it with these cats, man? Like the guys that pulled off 9/11, they were at a strip bar the night before. And I was telling the story before the show on our video feed that there were Nazi spies caught in the United States in World War II. They were saboteurs who had been landed by a U-boat on the coast of Florida. And these guys planted bomb-making material on the beach. And then they took off into the interior of the United States. I think a couple of them went up to New York. Meanwhile, a very alert Coast Guard sailor had seen them burying this stuff, and he went and got his superiors, and they found this stuff. These dudes, in the process of being here in the United States and supposedly planning sabotage, wound up instead staying for a few nights in a hotel, going out and buying a nice suit. They met some chick. They had some dinner. They forgot all about what they were going to be doing. In fact, one of them turned himself in. He was like, "No, you know, I dig it here too much. I'd rather be in jail here." It happens. Only in America. I'm Phil Hendry. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
I'm Bud Dickman.
Right.
Phil Hendry.
And another one.
Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show, and we bring on the program here this evening Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier. The story that we're going to be talking about, an interesting story, Rolling Stones list of the top Beatles songs of all time. Doug, how are you?
Pretty good, Phil, and it's an interesting list that Rolling Stone has compiled. I don't know that I agree with it, but I suppose that that's what makes compiling lists interesting. I am a gay man and a gay journalist, so I look at these things a little bit differently.
Well, before, because I know that you had a different idea of what this list should say. The list, and by the way, as we mentioned, this is the 40th anniversary of Let It Be.
That is correct. Beatles, the 40th anniversary of the Beatles' final studio album, Let It Be. That was 40 years ago. Rolling Stone decided to release a collector's edition issue listing the top 100 Beatles songs of all time, and to, I guess, get the reader's appetites for the special issue, Rolling Stone posted a list of the top 10 Beatles songs of all time. And
you know, it's one thing, I think, to whet the appetite of readers so they want to see the top list of all time, but it's another thing to have a list of songs here that not only don't represent the best Beatle music, but in a lot of ways they represent the, I think, the bottom of the barrel of what the Beatles did, with a few exceptions. You know,
bottom of the barrel. All right. Well, number one, Day in the Life.
That's a good song. That's Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, and but there are better songs on that album. Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band was an album that I think was, and I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, so let's just slow down and understand who's talking here. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and that means that if I say to you that Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band was the seminal Beatle album, I think the representative Beatle album, I think you, only because of my ability to perceive these things, because I, as a gay man and as a gay journalist, and again, as we've talked, Phil, the five levels of gay, a gay man, a gay journalist, full-on gay, and then you wrap it all up and you got all gay. And
I understand, Doug, but I want to get through this list.
No, but I want to get through the list, too, but I'm telling you why it is. Okay, fine. I mean, I
understand. You're a gay man and a gay judge. I just want to get through the list.
But the reason why I'm telling you that Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band is a great album is I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Right, right. And you and I understand that. I completely understand that. You're absolutely right, and I get you, and I agree.
You agree, but you're not gay.
No, I'm not gay. You are, but I respect your opinion enough to agree with you. I think that is probably their best album. Number two, I Want to Hold Your Hand.
That's an example of the early Beatles, what they called the mop-top Beatles, the Beatlemania Beatles. That was their first big hit record here in the United States. As a gay man, as a gay journalist, I listen to that, and I feel sad because I know the Beatles were capable of so much better than that. Number three, let me just read them, Phil, because I need to get through this. Number three...
I can do it.
All right, well, and if you could pick it up a little bit.
Yeah, I will, Doug. I just, I'm trying to give you the opportunity to explain it.
Right.
Number three is Sergeant, excuse me.
That's Sergeant Fields Forever, Strawberry Fields Forever.
Strawberry Fields Forever, yeah.
But what's Sergeant Fields Forever?
Sergeant Pepper's is what I was thinking of.
Right. Strawberry Fields Forever is an atrocious piece of music. They use a lot of backward masking. They use a lot of that reverse tape effects that became so just stiflingly dull in later recordings that other artists picked up on it. I think Strawberry Fields Forever is an interesting concept, but a slowed down Calliope with reverse tape effects, you are left feeling like you have just been spun around. Your head is spinning. Your stomach is not going to keep whatever food is in it. Sure isn't going to stay in it.
All right, number four is Yesterday.
Yesterday is a lovely ballad. It's been played to death. I'm speaking as a gay man, as a gay journalist, that I think Yesterday, had it not been played into the ground, had it not been played by radio to the point of it became an irritant. And so what was once a great song, Yesterday, a beautiful ballad, was destroyed, emulated by radio. Thank you again, radio.
Number five, In My Life.
In My Life is from Rubber Soul. Rubber Soul was an interesting concept. It was the Beatles trying to be the Birds. It was the Beatles trying to be folk rock. They blew it badly. They looked ridiculous in those triptychs. In My Life, I think, was John Lennon imagining himself as E.E. Cummings. I'm a gay man. I'm a gay journalist. So this is my... So you know, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. This is my verdict. In My Life is embarrassing.
I got to just say one thing. That you're taking a lot of songs here that a lot of people love, and you're calling In My Life embarrassing.
I'm a gay man. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, Phil.
Well, I understand that. You're calling that embarrassing.
Yes.
Number six, Something.
Something is another one of these songs that could have been great had they not destroyed it by overplaying it on the radio. A song written by George Harrison, one of the few good ones that George Harrison wrote. Because George Harrison wrote a lot of songs, even though most of them, I'd say 99% of them, were horrible, the Beatles had to put them on albums. Otherwise, George was going to have a hissy fit, quit. In other words, George was going to do what I guess Paul McCartney eventually did. So they had to include a lot of George Harrison's music. And as I said, a lot of it is almost unlistenable. Something is a good little commercial vehicle. It's a good little song. It's got legs. I like it. It's sweet. I can't listen to it anymore because it's been overplayed. But at one time, it was a good song.
All right, number seven, Hey Jude.
Horrible song. Repetitive, redundant, 8 minutes of living torment for anyone that's ever heard it. The melody starts out nice enough, but then it's just la da 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 da. I don't have to be a gay man and a gay journalist to tell you that's the kind of thing that could put that could drive anybody mad. I mean, literally drive you mad. And by that, I mean insane. As a gay man and as a gay journalist, I think I speak for everyone, straight and gay. And I give, in fact, Hey Jude, I give two gay thumbs down to, and I haven't given any gay thumbs down to any material on this list yet.
But why is that?
It doesn't even qualify as a gay thumb.
The material.
Right.
Number seven, number eight, Let It Be.
Let It Be was the Beatles attempting to copy Simon and Garfunkel's Bridge Over Troubled Waters, and the Troubled Waters was the Beatles. The bridge was Simon and Garfunkel. I think Simon and Garfunkel's beautiful album, Bridge Over Troubled Water, with The Boxer and with these other songs, but the Beatles trying to do what they did, you know, it was bad. So, yeah, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I say that was the Beatles trying to be Simon and Garfunkel, just like In My Life was the Beatles trying to be the Birds.
All right, and then we have number 10, While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
Another George Harrison abomination, a horrible song, a song that, first of all, Harrison can't sing, he can't play guitar, he hung out with Eric Clapton hoping it would rub off, no it didn't, and the end result was having to sit through Harrison's music. Now,
did George Harrison wrote something?
Okay, yeah, he wrote something. Next.
He wrote that one from,
what?
Hey, Doug, easy, okay?
I'm just telling you, I'm a gay man and a gay...
I know you're a gay man. He wrote that Within You and Without You from,
Are you kidding me? That's that Hindu? That was a... Get out of here with that shit. No, that song's terrible.
So you give this list as compiled by Rolling Stone...
I give it three gay thumbs down. I give it two gay thumbs up, which comes out to one gay thumb down. And I would say that is devastating. I usually never give a gay thumb down. If I give one gay thumb down, it is devastating. I mean, the landscape is flattened.
All right, so you give it a gay thumb down.
No, I give it three gay thumbs down, two gay thumbs up.
Which equals one gay thumb down.
Yes, that's exactly right. Yeah, but you don't say it that way.
All right, three gay thumbs down and two gay thumbs up for this list of the Beatles' top songs in the opinion of Rolling Stone, but not of Doug Danger. Now, Doug, I know you do have your pick for the best Beatles song of all time.
I absolutely do, Phil, and I think nothing says the sense of fun that the Beatles had with music. Here is A Day in the Life, and again, let's listen to this very morose, very depressive song by John Lennon. It's about a guy sitting in a car wanting to blow his brains out. Whoopee-doo. This song is typical Lennon. Just typical Lennon, very depressing. But the Beatles had a sense of fun and they had a... Can you turn that off now? Can you turn that...
Turn it off, bud.
Yeah, okay. I just kind of like it.
Yeah. Would you have him?
Turn it off, bud.
Yeah, I can't listen to that. All right. But the sense of fun is what's missing from this list. The Beatles were fun. If there was something you could say about the Beatles, and I'm saying this as a gay man and a gay journalist, so you can take this to the bank, you can night deposit it, you can put it into a money market, you can do whatever you want with it. This is the truth. The Beatles were fun. The Beatles were fun and just loved to hop around and frolic. And we don't get a sense of the frolicking fun of the Beatles until we hear... A song that I think is absolutely...
Get that... Turn it off, bud. I told you, okay?
I'm telling you, if someone's trying to piss me off...
No, he forgot to turn it off.
Sorry.
God. You laughing?
No, I'm not, man. I swear.
Man, if you're laughing at me...
I'm not laughing, I swear.
All right. as a gay man and as a gay journalist, I, Doug Danger, I give this Beatles song, I give it 4 gay thumbs up and 2 gay thumbs down. That's a total of 2 gay thumb up, or gay, yeah, 2 gay thumbs, a gay thumb up.
It's 2 gay thumbs.
No, 2 gay thumb. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here. 2 gay thumb.
Yeah.
Okay, here it is, Doug Danger's number one Beatles song of all time.
In the town where I was born.
Isn't this fun?
This song sucks. Sailed to sea.
What was that?
Nothing, nothing, I swear.
It was the stupidest song I ever heard.
Would you tell that to shut up, man? This is my segment, isn't it?
Yes, it's your segment.
To the sun, till we burn. To the front screen. I'm Doug Danger. And this has been Doug Danger's top Beatles song of all time. 4 gay thumbs up. 4 gay thumb up. I'd give it 6 gay thumb up, but no one has 6 fingers.
In a yellow submarine. Yellow submarine.
I hate this.
Yellow submarine. We all live in a yellow submarine.
Oh, my God.
Yellow submarine. Yellow
what are you laughing about?
I'm laughing at that whole segment, man. It's the stupidest thing I ever heard in my life. I'm giving it 4 gay thumb up.
Begins to play.
He's going to call back and say you're homophobic.
Oh, ooh. I'm so scared.
We all live in the yellow submarine.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back with a wrap on the show, man.
We all live in a yellow submarine.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Yellow submarine.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry
Show.
Yeah,
bud. Thank you, bud. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. You know, don't go yelling, man, before I'm even on the air.
Yeah, but you didn't read this. It's interesting.
Okay, great, man, but the microphone was barely open, and you're like, you're going to yell, yell, yell.
You do that all the time, man.
Well, yeah, but don't you forget?
Sometimes I forget, yeah, but here's the way you remind me, okay? You ready?
Yeah.
You write it down on a piece of paper and hold it up in front of me so that nobody in the audience hears you screaming at me.
Just write it down on that, man.
What, with a crayon or something?
A crayon, man? Write it down on a piece of paper. Hey, you know, you write down fat lady story. Do it.
Okay.
Don't go, hey, don't forget the fat lady thing. 603-pound Thai woman leaves home after 3 years via a forklift. Dateline Bangkok.
Man.
How come it's always a forklift, a crane? I'll tell you why it's always a forklift or a crane. Because it's 603 pounds, that's why. And let me tell you one other thing, too. She may have had a thyroid problem. This is very real. It's very true that people have thyroid problems, and they put on weight. You don't get up to 603 pounds without somebody working a full-time kitchen, man, on your behalf. Now, I think I told you guys about the TV show we saw, right? And we often use, as a matter of fact, one of our drops comes from that TV show, that guy Larry. And he's a very, very overweight guy. I mean, he's approaching 1,000 pounds. Now, that's not the story. Those stories we've seen and those poor people, for whatever reason, and I think it's I personally believe it's a delusional problem the way anorexia is. You know, anorexia, a girl is thin, and she sees herself as overweight, right?
Yeah, that's weird.
Okay. A girl that has anorexia could eat an olive, just an olive, and she might look in the mirror and see the weight that she put on from that olive.
Man.
I mean, that's how weird, that's how tragic this illness is. I got a feeling that the problem here with these guys that are way, way overweight is the reverse of that, but still equally delusional, that they see there's this big fat guy in the mirror, and maybe they look underweight, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. A guy laying around eating a fried pork sausage, and that one guy eating 6 of them.
Yeah, 6 fried pork sausages this guy ate. Now, here's the part that is really goofy, and this lady here that we're talking about, she's 40 years of age. She's got one of those long Thai names that I can't pronounce, Tong Brapai or something.
Tongue papai.
Yeah, TONGPRAPAI.
Tongue, yeah. Yeah, let me see it.
Bud, you don't know how to pronounce that. Get out of here. Anyway, contacted the Bangkok Metropolitan Authority when they learned she needed medical attention to remove a tumor in her right leg. Bangkok's media-savvy governor summoned camera crews to document the event, which involved engineers, demolition crews, rescue workers, doctors, and nurses. Gee, thanks a lot, Mr. Governor, sir. She could only walk a few feet on her own. Anyway, as neighbors cheered on the pavement, she smiled and flashed a V for victory sign as she was lowered from the apartment.
What does that mean? Like, hey, I got out of my apartment for the first time.
Yay. Yeah, they're all cheering. Yeah, that's it, baby. You're going out for a walk. All right. Now, here's the thing. This lady, I don't know, but here it says here, she was confined to her studio apartment where she ran a laundry service with the help of her two adopted sons. She ran a laundry service. That's how she made money. She had okay. This guy that we were talking about, that Larry guy, right?
Yeah, 6 fried pork sausages.
Right. That's what he eats. That's just part of what he has for breakfast. If you saw this show, you would just you'd be amazed because not only is he shoveling it down morning, noon, and night, 24 hours a day, but when you see that his father and his stepmother, that means a woman married a man, and what did she marry into? Working in a kitchen 24 hours to keep a fat man alive who lays in a bed upstairs, and that's it. So in other words, this guy Larry is he's like a cottage industry or something. The only problem is nobody's making any money except for the cats that who make the food.
Yeah, I bet you that guy eats so much food, he keeps several farms working, 24 hours.
Probably.
Yeah, if that guy has 6 fried pork sausages and all them eggs, how many eggs do you think he have?
That guy has 2 cartons of eggs for breakfast.
Get out of here. That's like 24 eggs.
Yeah, that's what he has. 24 eggs, man. Where is it? Fried pork. There we go. Listen to this, man. You'll love it.
8 fried pork sausages, 6 fried eggs.
This is what he has for breakfast.
8 fried pork sausages, 6 fried eggs, 2 large plates of French fries, 10 slices of fried bread, 2 ham and cheese bagels, 8 steaks, 4 portions of rice, 10 cakes, 1 portion of spaghetti bolognese, 6 potatoes, 2 large cups of tea, each with 7 sugars, 1 gallon of fresh orange juice, and 1 quart of punch. A total of 14,349 calories.
That's just for breakfast.
No. No, no.
That's for, I'm telling you, man, that's one meal. That's one meal.
I believe it, man. Because I saw the guy you're talking about.
Yeah. Now, his father and his stepmother, this is the part that I was amazed at, because it's not just the dad, and the father was smiling, and they got this big kitchen, and I'm telling you, it's like a 24-hour, it's like they're operating a kitchen for a factory. It's like they're operating a kitchen for a ship, a military ship or something. They're just all the time, they got eggs frying here and that. Then they came out, now here's the thing that was very, very telling. They said to the guy, oh boy, Larry, we can't move the food in there for you because the table broke. They did that on purpose, just to see what he'd do. All of a sudden, with the oxygen tube in his nose, oh, he's laying in bed? No, he gets up and he almost dances out of the bedroom to where the food is.
So he's lying?
No, I don't think he's lying. He just, if it's a difference between not eating and having to get up and walk. Phil Henry Show, produced by Jason Rantz. Technical director is Charles Wagon. And, of course, our screener, associate producer, Dan Northcraft. Our web address is philhenryshow.com. That's the right arm of the Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Later, greater.
6 fried pork sausages.
Phil Henry.